When asked what he would like his epitaph to read, Johnny Carson quipped, "I'll be right back." That famous line that he said every time right before he went to a commercial break. But we all know that Johnny Carson will not be back from the grave. And of course, nobody will. While we all might have differing epitaphs, there's really only one epitaph for the fallen human race. He died. We all die. No one escapes it. Adam and Eve knew they would die because of their sin. God told them so. And after Adam and Eve tried to overcome sin with their children, we saw last week, it didn't end very well. We had our first murder. Not only that, but Cain and his descendants walked outside of relationship with God. Genesis chapter 5 is a description of what happened to Abel's descendants. Let's read and see if anything goes any better. Genesis chapter 5. This is the book of generations of Adam, when God created man. He made him in the likeness of God. Male and female he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enoch. Seth lived after he fathered Enoch 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. When Enoch had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. Enoch lived after he fathered Kenan 815 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 905 years, and he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel. Kenan lived after he fathered Mahalalel 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived after he fathered Jared 830 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God, and he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived, and he fathered Lamech 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son, and called his name Noah, saying, "Out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands." Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years, and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. After Noah was 500 years old, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. As we've just read, things get no better with Seth's descendants. Civilization right at the beginning is in a downward spiral of sin and sorrow. As a matter of fact, this passage covers 1,500 years of human history. But it's 1,500 years of sin and sorrow and suffering. Genesis 5 shows us that the epitaph of sin is death. It's a chapter many would incline to skip. Perhaps in your Bible reading, you just kind of skipped over these verses, wondering why they're there. Verse 1 through 3 tells us why. Moses takes us back to Genesis 1 before the fall to show that God's original purpose for man, created in his image, is now carried out through Adam's line through Seth and not through Cain. But there's a marked difference since the fall. While Adam was created in God's likeness, he became the father of a son in his own in Adam's likeness. While Adam was created in the likeness of God, Seth and his children were created in the image of man. While people after the fall retain a strain of the divine image, they also contain the image of their parents, born in sin. Adam's descendants through Cain fall under the heading, "Cain went out from the presence of the Lord." But even so, his children and great-grandchildren and all made great progress in many areas. The line of Cain looks impressive on the surface. They built cities. They became merchants and businessmen. They accumulated wealth. But it's all progress without God, which is not true progress. The descendants of Seth fall under the heading, "The men began to call upon the name of the Lord." With a couple of exceptions, not much is said of these men and of their achievements, except for that they had children and they lived so many years and then they died. The line of Seth reminds man of his mortality. At the end of each description of the descendants of Adam, it says, "He died. He died. He died." The point is this: man's sin always leads to death. Now, we don't like to think about death, especially our own, but it used to be more common. Jonathan Edwards, at age 19, resolved amongst other things to think much on of all occasions of my dying and of the common circumstances which attend death. Most 19-year-olds today don't think about death at all. They think they're immortal. They think they're going to live forever. Not so Jonathan Edwards at age 19. In the Middle Ages, it was common for scholars and other men of prominence to keep a skull on their desk to remind them that they, like the victim, must die. You remember Hamlet holding up that skull of his departed friend, asking to be or not to be, contemplating life, contemplating death? The Latin name for such a skull was memento mori, a reminder of death. Well, that sounds a gruesome thing to do to us. But Genesis 5 is God's memento mori, his reminder that we all must die. But there's an exception. Look at verse 21 through 23. When Enoch was 65 years old, his wife gave birth to a son whom they named Methuselah. Now, Methuselah means man of the dart. But this was a turning point for Enoch and in his life because he began to walk with the Lord. Did the responsibility of raising a son in such a godless world so challenge Enoch that he knew he needed the Lord's help? When the baby was born, did God give Enoch insight into the future so that Enoch knew that the flood was coming? We don't know. But we do know that the arrival of this baby changed Enoch's life. Often the birth of a child makes us think about the kind of life we're leading and the kind of example we're going to set for our children. And God uses that to bring us to repentance. You probably know of families or couples that weren't in church, even though they grew up in church, but once they have children, they're like, "We need to get back in church. We need to raise our children as we were raised. We need to raise them to fear God." God often works through families call people to himself. And there's some good news about that, and there's some bad news about that. The good news is that any person can start a godly line that will be used to turn many from their sin. Although you might have come from a godless family, if you will walk with God, your children and your grandchildren can have the privilege of being raised in a godly home where the love of God reigns. Of course, that means that those of us who've had the privilege of being raised in Christian homes have a great responsibility to carry that torch ourselves and hand it to our children like a baton in a relay race. But there's another side to that coin. It only takes one generation to turn a godly family into a godless one. At the time of the flood, four generations from Enoch, Noah and his sons were the only ones on the face of the earth that God saw fit to save. Enoch and his descendants had other sons and daughters than those mentioned here by name. Apparently, they followed the way of the world and not the way of the Lord. Consequently, they all came under God's judgment in the flood. I believe if there was another godly family that was following and walking with God, that they would have been on that ark too. But there wasn't. Matthew Henry notes, "Grace does not run in the blood, but corruption does. A sinner begets a sinner, but a saint does not beget a saint." Meaning, you don't inherit your Christianity. Every generation, every son and daughter has to make a decision for themselves. Is this for me? Am I going to walk with God in the days to come? Am I going to follow God? We do not pass down our Christianity to the next generation. It has to be accepted by them personally. Did you know that the famous writer Ernest Hemingway came from a solid Christian family? His parents and both sets of grandparents were evangelical Christians. As a boy, he sang in the choir, tithed his allowance, and read through the King James Bible. Yet he rebelled against his upbringing and became notorious for his godless life. Lonely, bitter, and depressed, he shot himself at age 61, and his descendants are thoroughly pagan. But thankfully, it can go the other way as well. Hudson Taylor, founder of the Great China Inland Mission, traced his spiritual roots through his mother back to his great-grandfather, who had converted from a worldly way of life. His family were as thoroughly non-Christian, but his grandfather chose to follow the Lord, chose to walk with the Lord. And today, Taylor's great-grandson is a prominent missions leader, and literally millions of souls have been won to Christ because Taylor's great-grandfather established a Christian home. One thing's clear. God uses the birth of Methuselah to bring Enoch into relationship with him. The meaning of Methuselah's name isn't very significant, son of a dart. But his long life of 969 years is significant. In the year that Methuselah died, the flood came. Perhaps the Lord told Enoch this news after the baby was born, and it gripped his heart, and he began to walk with the Lord and do God's will. The sobering phrase, "and he died," is not used of Enoch, because Enoch is one of two men in Scripture who never died. Both Enoch and Elijah were taken into heaven alive. Hebrews 11:5 tells us that it was by faith that Enoch was taken into heaven. He believed God, walked with God, wanted to be with God, which is an example for us to follow. Which brings us to our second point. The key to escape death is to walk with God. Imagine how hard it was to walk with God in those years before the flood, when vice and violence were prevalent and only a remnant of people believed in God. But Enoch not only lived and walked with God, he proclaimed God to a sinful people and generation. Listen to what the book of Jude says about Enoch. Jude 14-16. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones, to execute judgment on all, and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage." See, Enoch didn't just walk with the Lord. He didn't just have a relationship with the Lord. He proclaimed the truth. He proclaimed the truth to those around him. And the day of the judgment of the flood did come. And since Noah and his family were the only righteous ones God found to save when the flood came, it seems that nobody else listened to Enoch. Only Noah and his family. But Enoch proclaimed anyway. He proclaimed. He obeyed. He walked with the Lord. My friends, there's another flood coming. Another judgment coming. Just as the flood came, Jesus Christ is returning as well. And he will lead his armies of heaven and will defeat Satan and its host. It will be the final judgment. And those who are walking with the Lord will be saved. They will enter into God's rest. And those not walking with God will be thrown into the lake of fire. So just as Enoch proclaimed truth, we need to proclaim the truth. We need to proclaim the truth. Our situation's no less urgent or dire than it was for Enoch or Noah. Millions of people around us will drown in their sin. Enoch's life reminds us that it is possible to live out our faith amongst a crooked and perverse people and nation. No matter how dark the day or how bad the news, we have a promise of the Lord's return to encourage us, to help us live godly lives, walking beside our Savior. Because one day sin will be judged, And God's people will be rewarded for their faithfulness. Consider Romans 10, 13 through 15. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him and whom they've not heard? And how are they to hear without somebody preaching? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. See, feet that walk with God are beautiful feet. And feet that walk with God are feet that proclaim the gospel. Are your feet beautiful? They may have corns on them or even calluses. They may have twisted toes and bunions on them, but they can still be beautiful. If they're feet that walk with God, if they're feet that proclaim the good news of Jesus, you have beautiful feet. Years ago in London, a merchant named Henry Goodyear scoffed at the Bible. But one Sunday, just to please his niece, he went to church. The young lady was greatly disappointed when she learned that the pastor's message was based on Genesis 5. As she listened to the boring list of names being read, she wondered why God had permitted the pastor to pick a text on that day that was so boring on the day that her lost uncle came to church. But as they walked home, little did she know that every step of her uncle's feet and every beat of his heart seemed to repeat the gloomy refrain, "And he died, and he died." The next day, Goodyear could not concentrate on his work. That night, he searched for a family Bible, and he read over those words, "And he died, and he died." And Goodyear thought, now I'm living, but someday I too must die. And where will I spend eternity? And that very night, he asked the Lord Jesus into his heart and make him his child. May we walk with God. May we seek his presence. May we seek to obey him, and may we seek to please him with everything that we are. May we proclaim the good news of the gospel. For we know that while many will reject him and face eternal judgment, many can and will accept Christ. But we must be faithful to proclaim his name, proclaim the gospel, proclaim that he longs to walk with us, so we might escape death and walk in life for all eternity.